sports, or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's been a few months since we heard from Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Our reigning prince of pugilistics has been dropping verbal bombs over our Voice of America airwaves for nearly 40 years. And after a long break, I'm happy to say, Nnamdi, welcome back to the show.
Sonny, nice to be back, amigo. It's been quite 3 months of no boxing, and we just lost with watching old fights. It's been a very tough time for everybody, COVID-19. And then it's a very tough time, too, for lots of folks, especially the African Americans here, with what happened in Minneapolis. Floyd Mayweather stepped up to the plate, and Floyd Mayweather now decided to cover the cost for the 3 funeral services for George Floyd. The first one in Minneapolis, the second one in Charlotte, and then Tuesday in Houston, Texas. Floyd Mayweather has that side of him that the media don't really pay attention. He does a lot for the community, but we don't get to see that. He's a rich man. That doesn't mean that he's a stingy man. Kudos to Floyd Mayweather for stepping up to the plate and helping the family of George Floyd.
Nnamdi, still with those racial protests, I saw world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua at a demonstration in Watford, England. AJ was on crutches. Was he hurt? And does it affect his planned bout with the Bulgarian Pulev?
Sonny, yes. AJ was out demonstrating with Black Lives Matter protesters in Watford, in his place, in his town in the UK. He came out on crutches. He had a slight twinge, which he picked up in training and running. The fight with Kubrat Pulev is what they are looking out for November or December. He needs to heal for another 4 to 6 weeks. We're now in June. By August, he should be ready. And then they will decide if the fight will go in November or December. But Anthony Joshua had to step out and speak his mind. And we're very happy that he came out in support of Black Lives Matter. And we wish him quick recovery and get ready for the big fight with Kubrat Pulev in November or December.
Nnamdi, pro boxing returns to Las Vegas this week. Are there any special protocols in place for the fights? And in your opinion, Nnamdi, will there be any major fights in 2020?
Sonny, after 3 months of no fights, Top Rank and Barbarum will kick off Thursday night in Las Vegas. Mind you, this fight will be held at the MGM Conference Center Ballroom in Las Vegas. We're not talking about a huge crowd and all that. The protocols involved here, it will be the fighters, the trainers, and the boxing officials from the Boxing Commission, Nevada State Athletic Commission, which means everybody, before they go into the ballroom, tested for COVID-19. Everybody comes in clean, and which also means that there's no entourage, there's no girlfriends or wives, you know, come in, do the fight, then leave after the fight. The other question about, are we going to see the big mega fight, the A-list fighters, your Tyson Fury, the Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua in 2020? I really don't think so, because one, we're talking about the live gates. These A-list fighters, their live gates go for anywhere from $10 million to $20 million, and they are guaranteed $30 million, $25 million per fight. Without a live gate, say Anthony Joshua doing $80,000 in the UK, that takes a lot out of the purse. So with experiment starts on Thursday with this top-ranked fight, six events in the month of June on ESPN. Tuesdays and Thursday, we get to see fight with no fans. And the question becomes, when we look at it on TV at home, how are we going to feel watching a fight with no reaction from the audience? So we just have to wait and see. And hopefully, after the fight, nobody tests positive for COVID-19.
Namdi, I saw recent videos by Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield training, both men now in their 50s. Is this realistic, Namdi, to think that Tyson and Holyfield can make boxing comebacks?
The video of I am Mike Tyson in training that went viral, it scared a lot of heavyweights. Scared a lot of heavyweights because Iron Mike showed us that he still has a hand speed. He still got the power. But anybody can look good hitting the mitts or hitting the bag. But Iron Mike proved that he can still take on any of these contenders or pretenders you have here. Mind you, Iron Mike is 53 years old, you know. Holyfield is in that age group. What will happen with damage in any of these fights, you know? Another homeboy of mine from Nigeria, Bashiru Ali. Bashiru Ali is talking about getting into the ring at the age of 63 for the Guinness Book of Records. That's a dangerous fight. The fight game, you can get killed in the ring. You can get hurt badly. Is it really worth it? Doing an exhibition with headgear and big gloves for fun, raising money for charity, that's all good. But if we're made to believe that it's going to be a real fight with, where they will come in with 8-ounce gloves and no headgear, no, the boxing commission must put a stop to that. Bashiru Ali Bash Ali in Nigeria at the age of 63, the boxing commission will have to make a decision to make sure that Bash Ali is in top shape. I talked to him. I know him very well. He sounds great and he's in top shape. But at the age of 63, going for the Guinness Book, it's my boy, it's my buddy. I just don't advise that because the damage that could happen in that fight could go a long way in really, really putting him away. Boxing is a dangerous game. People have been killed in the ring. You know that, Sonny. These guys should just slowly, slowly step away. They all made money, and they should just come back and enjoy life.
Namdi, any updates on the top African fighters? And do you think we'll see any big fights in Africa in 2020?
Sonny, boxing in Africa, it's something that's going to be hit badly by COVID-19. Remember, in Africa, the promoters depend on the live gates. We barely have television paying promoters. So if you take away live gates in a fight in Africa, there's just no way the promoter can survive. And if the promoter don't have no money coming in from the live gate, the peanuts that come from television is not enough to pay the fighters. The promoter is a businessman. He must make money. He has to make money. Sponsors, there's no sponsors. So don't expect us to stage fights in Africa with nobody in the arena and you watch it on TV. We can do that in the UK. We can do that in America. But in Africa, we pray that this COVID-19 will not affect the continent like it like what he did in Europe, in North America. We pray that things will come back up and then our people can go back and start enjoying life, go to the football stadium, have functions, you know. Until that happens, I don't see where anybody can go into an arena filled with thousands of people to watch any fight. Who knows if the trainer has got COVID-19 or the boxer or the boxing officials. That would be one quick and easy way to spread the disease, you know, the pandemic. So not only that, we just pray we find the vaccine as soon as possible. Then we can get back to normal. Say my prayers from Hollywood, where we all have been quarantined, and the entertainment industry, we're not making money, and we are all just looking and waiting to see what will come back in the future with the vaccine, and we pray for that.
Yes, we do pray for a coronavirus vaccine, Namdi. Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Prince Nesta says sports stars continue to speak out against racism in the wake of the death of George Floyd in police custody on May 25th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Prince says he'll be kicking off his report with an English football star. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. England and Manchester City forward Raheem Sterling has backed protests taking place across the UK, saying, and I quote, "The only disease right now is the racism that we are fighting," end of quote. The 25-year-old is the latest sports star to voice support for protests against racism in the United States and across the world following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis last month. Sterling, whose City side returned to Premier League action on 17th June, has previously been prominent in calling out racism in both the domestic and international game. Thousands of people have taken part in Black Lives Matter marches in the UK, despite government warnings to avoid mass gatherings because of the threat of coronavirus. Large protests have been held in London, Bristol, Manchester, Wolverhampton, Nottingham, Glasgow and Edinburgh following the death of American George Floyd. Britain's world heavyweight champion of Nigerian descent, Anthony Joshua, described racism as a pandemic when he addressed protesters at a Black Lives Matter march. The 30-year-old IBF, WBA, WBO world champion read a poem and spoke in front of hundreds of people in his hometown of Watford, saying, and I quote, "We stand united against a virus which has been instrumental in taking lives of the young, old, rich, poor, a virus which is unapologetic and spreads across all sectors. And I'm not talking about COVID-19. The virus I'm talking about is called racism." Joshua hoped to fight twice in 2020, but has accepted he will have no more than one bout this year because of the coronavirus pandemic. Talks are currently ongoing over when and where his mandatory world title defense against Bulgaria's Kubrat Pulev can take place, given the challenge faced in creating a viable event without fans present. Players of Borussia Dortmund and Hertha Berlin went down on one knee before their game in a tribute to George Floyd, whose death in U.S. police custody has triggered protests around the world. Both teams gathered around the center circle and knelt, while the coaches and their staff on the benches also joined in. Dortmund later secured a 1-0 victory thanks to Emre Can's second-half goal, which left them second on 63 points, with 4 rounds of games remaining, 7 behind Bayern Munich, who edged closer to an 8th straight Bundesliga title as Hansi Flick's men came from behind to win in style at Bayern Leverkusen. The perennial German champions already had one hand on the trophy, but tightened their grip as the season enters the closing stages by overcoming Peter Bosz's Champions League hopefuls. Leverkusen failed to build on Lucas Alario's early opener as Bayern put their foot on the gas with Kingsley Coman, Leon Goretzka, German winger of Ivorian descent Serge Gnabry, and Robert Lewandowski netting in a 4-2 win. Schalke also equaled a club record by going 12 consecutive league matches without a win as they rescued a 1-1 draw at Union Berlin on Sunday, scoring for only the second time in their last five Bundesliga games. The Royal Blues, who are battling for a Champions League spot midway through the season, have now failed to win since January 17th, equaling the club's worst ever winless run set in the 1993-1994 season. Schalke are now 10th in the Bundesliga table with 38 points. Both teams' players as well as the match officials went down on one knee before kickoff in tribute to George Floyd. In talking about kneeling, Senegal's Sadio Mane and Egyptian Mo Salah joined their Liverpool teammates in sending a message of solidarity as the squad took a knee around a center circle during the Reds' training session in a tribute to George Floyd. The image was later shared on social media with the hashtag Black Lives Matter. Mane further posted the picture on his Instagram page with the caption, "Unity is strength." Other Premier League clubs including Chelsea, Newcastle United and Leicester City also posted images showing their players kneeling along with messages of support. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Eugene, Oregon.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mijo-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Two iconic athletes in Olympic and civil rights history have just celebrated birthdays. American sprinter John Carlos turned 75 on Friday, and his Olympic teammate Tommy Smith celebrated his 76th birthday on Saturday. With more on their legacy in the fight for equality is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. John Carlos was born in Harlem, New York, and Tommy Smith was born 1,700 miles south in Clarksville, Texas. But in 1968, the two athletes were far from home when they came together in Mexico City to take part in the Olympic Games. Smith and Carlos won gold and bronze medals, respectively, in the 200-meter event. And as they stood on the podium, the two athletes raised their fists in what has become one of the greatest political protests in Olympic history. In 2018, the men were honored in Washington, D.C. on the 50th anniversary of their Olympic protest. They were given the Free Expression Award, presented to them by retired NBA legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. During the ceremony, Kareem recalled the moment in 1968 that shook the world.
As the Star Spangled Banner played, Tommy and John bowed their heads and raised their gloved fists in a defiant demand for human rights that echoed around the world. Their protest against the unjust treatment of Black Americans and people of color everywhere was a watershed moment in civil rights history.
Following their protests, the athletes were booed and cursed as they left the podium, and the International Olympic Committee strongly condemned their political statement. As a result, John Carlos and Tommy Smith were banned from the Olympic Village and sent home. They faced death threats and racial abuse upon their return to the United States. Australian sprinter Peter Norman, the silver medalist in that same race, was in support of their protest on the medal stand. He wore a small badge on his uniform that read Olympic Project for Human Rights, an organization that opposed racism in sport. For his part, Norman was later shunned by the International and Australian Olympic Committees and never ran in an Olympic event again. Peter Norman died in 2006. 6 years later, the Australian Parliament recognized Norman's achievements and issued an apology for the treatment he received upon his return to Australia after the 1968 Olympics. In his acceptance speech in 2018, John Carlos paid tribute to Norman, who is often regarded as the forgotten man.
50 years ago, I stood on a podium with two individuals, Tommy Smith and another blue-eyed white guy by the name of Peter Norman. And they tried to whitewash him, wipe him out of history like he didn't exist. And then you look back at modern day with young Mr. Kaepernick taking a knee. He wasn't the only one to take a knee. They had some white individuals that took a knee and took their hand and put it on his shoulder and said, I lend support to you. It whitewashed all those white football players too, to show you that you should not have moral character within your soul and your mind and your spirit to say, I don't care about what your ethnic background is. I don't care about what your economic state is. All I care about is whether you're doing the right thing and God is telling me to support you. It's your turn to step up. It's your turn to get up on the podium one day where I can say, hey, let's get a trophy, let's get a medal, let's give it to them because they deserve it.
And Tommy Smith called on others to join in the fight for equality.
In the face of adversity, the struggle continues. Now, there's many of us look for comfort in non-involvement. But see, you can run, but you cannot hide.
Last year, Tommy Smith and John Carlos received the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee's highest honor, induction into the organization's Hall of Fame. But for decades following their 1968 protest, the two men were left on the sidelines of the U.S. Olympic movement. Their demand for racial equality occurred just 6 months after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 52 years later, that call for justice is still being heard around the world as protests continue to erupt in the wake of George Floyd's death at the hands of Minnesota police. Tommy Smith is quoted as saying, without sacrifice, there can be no forward movement. You have to give up something before you can receive something, and usually that something is much better. A 22-foot statue depicting Smith, John Carlos, and Peter Norman in their famous stance is on display at the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C., and the Black Power salute lives on as an iconic symbol in the fight for human rights. A very happy birthday to Tommy Smith and John Carlos. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Athletics Integrity Unit has confirmed that Nigeria-born sprinter Sawa Aid Nasser already was being investigated for missing three doping tests when she won the 400 meters title at the 2019 World Championships in Doha. The Athletics Integrity Unit says Nasser was not provisionally suspended in Doha because the investigation was ongoing. The 22-year-old Nasser represents Bahrain in international competition. In 2014, she switched allegiance to Bahrain, converted to Islam, and changed her name. In an Instagram live video, Nasser said, and I quote, I've never been a cheat. I will never be. I only missed three drug tests, which is normal. It happens. It can happen to anybody. I don't want people to get confused in all this because I would never cheat. If found guilty, Nasser could be stripped of her world championship gold medal and may miss next year's Olympics in Tokyo. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Belgian tennis star Kim Clijsters. Kim was born June 8, 1983, in Bilzen, a small town in northeastern Belgium. The former world number one player was born to athletic parents with backgrounds in professional football and gymnastics. Kim Clijsters has won a total of 6 major tennis titles, 4 in singles and 2 in doubles. Kim is married to Brian Lynch, who played professional basketball in Europe and most recently has been coaching a Belgian basketball club. And we also salute Kim Clijsters on her birthday for her work with several children's charities. And that wraps up the June 8th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to sikus, Afrobeat to ndombolo, and makossa to kwaito. The Afro